So we're given his...
My question here is that since John the Apostle has sent a letter to the assembly, and that letter certainly aroused the conscience of the assembly, and it was the solemn responsibility of the brethren to remind him of his position and of his state. But I don't know why that's not done here.
Yeah, it seems unclear whether the letter was ever really read to the assembly. It may have been, but it seems that this man, Theotrephes, stood in the way, and perhaps that letter was never even read publicly, and he kept it from them because he had some ability to control what was going to be made known to the assembly. And keep in mind, here the scriptures reveal his heart, because he wanted preeminence, as we've been pointing out. I just want to guard against the thought that every letter that's sent, I sometimes, as a corresponding brother, receive letters. This letter is to the assembly. And the letter is totally inappropriate to read to the whole assembly. It's defiling. But what you don't want to be a Diotrephes, so what should one do? And often what we'll do is we'll counsel with other brothers and even make possible some copies of it. But to defile the whole assembly because someone says, this letter is for the whole assembly, and almost imply to someone in a role, you know, if you don't read this to the whole assembly, you're like this man, Diotrephes, is wrong also. So we have his heart here expressed. The reason he stood in the way is because he saw a threat that those brethren, notice it says he won't receive us. It wasn't just the Apostle John, so it may have been, as was suggested, other apostles or those who were traveling about preaching the word. He saw a threat to his own position. He saw competition, as we brought out earlier. Not a compliment, but a competition. And he withstood. So just to guard against the thought that every letter sent to an assembly must be read to the whole assembly because of this verse would be the wrong conclusion, the wrong lesson to learn. Likewise, you know, how to deal with that. As a corresponding brother, there are a few in the room here. Well, seek counsel, wise counsel with some other brothers, and maybe it's something that kept in a smaller circle because of its defiling effect.
But just the if you look at the verse objectively, the verse does not say that I send a letter to the assembly and the Theotrephes did not read it. Didn't say that here at all. So just we don't want to get into a discussion about reading letters or not reading letters. What he said, the problem is, I don't know if he read it or not, but the fact is this, to undermine what the apostle or what the elder John have written, he start making fun and speaking words that are not right about John writing or on the apostle John himself. So the point that he is making here, for someone to try to be prominent, most of the time what they do is they knock everybody down. That's just the way it is. So instead of speaking well of somebody, you speak down on that somebody. And what he was doing here to show his superiority to everybody else, that go after the biggest tree, and that was John. So if I make fun of the apostle John, well, everybody else is a game now. And I think that's what he is doing here, that very tactic of the world. That's exactly what goes in the world around us. And we need to be very careful in the local assembly, because again, John mentioned it and you repeated it, the whole fact of the competition. There's only one who is number one, and that's Christ. But also, keep in mind, there is no number two, and there is no number three, because usually it's a fight not over number one. Nobody will say, well, I want it to be number one, but everybody fight to be number two. There is no number two, and there is no number three, and there is no number four. We are all brethren. There is only one, and we are all brethren. With whatever capability, abilities the Lord had given us, has nothing to do with the individual. It's a gift from the head. But what had happened here is this. He was knocking down the teaching of the Apostle John, the admonition of the Apostle John, and whatever the Apostle John was writing. I think that's what the verse indicates in verse 9. Are you okay?
No, I'm okay. I just feel the sense that that's why the letter to Gaius has been written.
Yeah.
Because apparently he wasn't aware of a letter to the assembly. So he's informing him of what's taking place, and that the next verse we'll see that when I come. So how wonderful John is, wasn't somebody who's going to accept that from a distance, that this is a person knocking the brethren, knocking the teaching, taking the first place. Okay, you know what? I'm going to leave it to the Lord. He knew that he will be used by the Lord to come and deal with the problem. And how wonderful, dear brethren, by wisdom, it requires wisdom. In every detail, wisdom is required to be able to deal with matters like this, because wisdom would help us along to deal with them as according to the mind of God.
I have a question, and I'm not sure we can get a good answer. this is as best I can. Do we think that Diotrephes was a believer? Do we think that he was a believer? And the reason I ask that is, look at verse 11. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. That's just a fundamental question. I'm not sure if we can answer that, but...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not far-fetched that he was a believer, and I'm going to say why.
A believer.
The disciples of the Lord were fighting for the same place. Okay. They were discussing amongst themselves, who's amongst them going to be the greatest? Okay. So that spirit, if it's not judged, it is in all of us, in each and every one of us. The difference is, there is a brother who is faithfully judging that principle within himself, not to take such a place. But even the disciples had that discussion amongst themselves.
So let me give you another perspective on that. Don't mind.
Go ahead.
John's writing gives you absolutes. Either on this side or in that side. There is no gray area. So he that is born of God sinneth not. That's an absolute fact. So we keeping in mind how John writes. We just got to be keeping that in mind in answering your question. In John's writing, you might see he is an unbeliever, but he might, as John was saying, a believer that displays a character of that. But in John's writing, it's just an absolute. That verse 11 that you mentioned, that he that does good is of God. Well, do I do bad things sometimes? Yeah. But in John's writing, it's really absolute in there. So that might help a little bit, just to give a perspective.
I think it suggests that he was in the way John describes it, he was keeping company, so to speak, with those who are unbelievers, because this is really an unbelieving way to act, to behave. In fact, it's very interesting that in the word order, his name in the verse 9, actually comes at the end of the identification of who he is. It really is, I wrote to the church, but the one who loves to be first, Diotrephes, would not receive us. So that was like his whole character, was the one who loves to be first. And like it says in 1 Timothy, some men's sins go in front of them and they're obvious to everyone. Diotrephes might have thought he was acting a certain way out of honor. You know, we sometimes take these positions, right? We're standing for the truth, where I explain my actions because I'm going to make sure we don't have something defiling come in. And there is a real need for that idea that we don't want to allow defiling influences to affect the people of God or to affect ourselves. But his circumstance was not that. His circumstance was that it was obvious to John and others he loves to be first. This is the motive behind his behavior. And therefore, those who love to be first, that's a carnal way of behaving. In Corinthians, Paul says that in chapter 3, I think, 1 Corinthians 3, he says, since you act like this, since you say, I'm this way, and I'm for this one, and I'm for that one, since you are factious, since you are partisan, since you're taking sides, aren't you acting like ordinary people? Aren't you acting based on fleshly desires? So it was obvious, and he's standing on the ground that unbelievers ought to occupy. The Apostle Paul talked in 1 Corinthians 6 about those who are called a brother, who are drunkards and extortioners and so on. So it's almost as if their status as a believer is in question, even though we may be assured that they are believers, but their conduct is putting them on the ground where unbelievers stand.